You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we got Lou Rawls birthday, John Densmore from The Doors, Sabah Tax and Accounting celebrating 20 years in business, believe it or not. She's still alive after all these years, which is amazing. So she's here. And of course, the fabulous Fatima from Inca's Peruvian. How are you doing, young lady? Joanne's just mucking up the place, sitting in the wrong spot. It's
good
okay.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Fatima.
Good morning, everybody.
And good morning to the great Mark Van Buren, who's here.
Have you ever heard Lou Rawls in person?
I have not.
I have, and it was sensational.
Look at you.
Yep.
Lou Rawls' birthday today.
Yep.
Here comes Roberto with the pisco sours. Look at him.
With a delicious pisco sour.
Hola, pisco sour.
Yeah. Good morning, pisco sour.
a lot of pressure on Gilberto. That was poured pretty high. He had to carry that thing about 25 feet. He's all getting all nervous going, crap.
Oh, can't wait to drink it.
Hold on, I got a complaint. Patty, he's dropping pisco sour on the new carpet.
Uh-oh.
So,
you're in trouble now.
14 years.
14 years, Chris. Thank you. Thank you, Wake Up Tucson. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody. Beautiful Tucson community for this 14 years of support.
All right. So let's talk about what was happening 15 years before. 15 years ago.
14.
No, what I'm saying is 15 years ago before you had the business, what were you doing and how did it lead up to starting this thing called Inca's Peruvian Colbin Sunrise Basha Shopping Center?
Yes. Well, 15 years.
Is that a plug?
We're always plugging, constantly plugging.
Okay. 15 years before I opened Inca's, I was a happy housemaid mom. I was doing everything at home, plus, growing up my two beautiful kids.
Awesome.
Then I decided to open Inca's because it's near my house. I was looking at this place every day. Oh, wow. I need to do something with this beautiful area. And yes, we brought a little gem from Peru to Inca's Desert. I mean, Tucson Desert.
Where did you get the culinary background?
Okay. My husband is from Peru.
Right.
And my mother-in-law, she's wonderful. You know, she cooks amazing. And she encouraged me to open a restaurant. Then I went to Peru. I was very lucky to find a chef. So I imported the chef from Peru.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
You can import people?
Actually, I import happiness to people in Tucson every day from Peru. So, yeah.
So you can just get on a plane.
Exactly. Well,
fly into Lima.
It was a process.
grab a chef. And drag them to the Catalina foothills.
Actually,
I love it.
It was a process. So I went more than a few times. I got an excuse to fly more often to Peru to find the oven for the chicken, you know,
That's
the ecological oven. I imported the chef and the oven. So just kidding of the chef. Okay. It was a process. But anyway, I was very, very happy.
I don't care if it's true or not. I just love the story that you stole a chef from Peru.
So I opened the business after all the process. I made my own improvements in the restaurant. So I was a builder back then. And I'm serious. So I built up my own house. So it was a big change, you know, from building homes to, you know, taking care of my parents, taking care of my kids, taking care of my husband, building a home, and then decide to open Inca's. So when the dream came through, we started the business, and my mother-in-law gave to my chef her secret ingredients and special methods of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So we put everything in writing. Now she's in heaven, but her legacy remains in Inca's.
What's your mother-in-law's name?
Blanca Campos.
Okay.
She's in heaven. My dad also was helping me at the restaurant. You know, he was my right hand. I have another angel, so he protect me from there. And that's how I encourage my business as a family. And my kids grew up in there. My kids, my employees as well, because all UFA, majority of them are UFA students. They start in Catalina. So I grew up a big family.
All right, I got a question for you. So you've been in business 14 years,
yes.
Right? And you started almost from scratch, right? Oh, right?
From scratch.
So you go through the process. Is there anything that you would do different that you learned through the processes of being in business that long?
Actually, I'm very happy to all the process. I'm very happy to all the support from Tucson community, all the support from friends and family. Joanne also very helpful, my best friend. And so I have a lot of support from lots of people that I don't regret it to anything. I won't change anything. I'm very happy to everything that I'm doing. I'm very happy to all my success. I went through a very difficult times. We started on the recession.
Yep,
then
we
beat pandemic, and now we are beating, you know, inflation. But I'm so happy, and I'm very blessed that every single obstacle in life, it doesn't interfere with my business.
I think about it. So you and Chef Aliza, who were both on with Guy Fieri, mm-hmm. Triple D, you guys both started during that recession.
Yeah.
And you grew up into the two great restaurants you are today.
Which shows you must be doing something right, because most people don't survive that. They really don't.
Yes. Yeah. We have so much passion for what we're doing. We learn every day different, you know, tips here and there. When Guy Fieri came to our restaurant a year before the pandemic, it was a big success because he also teaches a lot of tricks, do this, do that. And not only that, he brought back in my restaurant a revenue of above 40% more.
Right.
And we are so grateful for all these things. I mean, even with the limitation of with my English, with my language, I'm very happy that I create my own clientele. And I love to talk to people. They love to talk to me. And I'm so proud for every single dish that we brought into my customer's table to get, smiling from everybody. We like to create more than experience. We want to create a memory. So
I think Mark can agree with me. Restaurants that do the right thing on the food and service, but also have a good front person that connects with the, right? And that's why
something that misses in a lot of restaurants, because you'll go and people think, oh, I'm going to open up this restaurant and I have good recipes and I have a good mm-hmm. kitchen staff and all that. But where they fail miserably a lot of times is out in the front, because their idea of touching tables is coming up to a table and say, how is everything? And before the people answer, they're on to the next table. You know, seriously, and I've seen it a million times, and it's just like when you get that wait person or you get that front of the house person that comes around and talks to people and find out how their experience is, and you know, did you like everything and all those kind of things, it means a lot, and that's what brings people back.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just as I say, you know, more than experience, enjoying the beautiful area, amazing food, unique, also create a memory so people can remember, you know, oh, we went there and we had this delicious ceviche, pisco sour, pollo a la brasa, et cetera, et cetera. But we also had a great experience with the server, and I encourage my team to feel part of the business. It's just not one number of employee.
Right.
They create their own small business inside of my business. So that's how I give them the training. This mm-hmm. is your own business. When they feel that, when it touch my menu, my atmosphere, touch their heart, they express to my customers. So that's you know, I don't know. I'm a very lovely person, I think.
That's what I read. Now, what I was going to say was also being that owner who has good relationships and discussions with your clientele. Right, is you'll know what's going on in your restaurant. If there's something that needs to be fixed, right, they'll tell you. If you don't go out there and talk to them, there may be things going on with your food or kitchen that you didn't even know what was going on.
Exactly.
Right, so it just makes you better and keep producing better product, because they're giving you immediate feedback instead of going on Yelp and bitching
exactly.
like a 12-year-old.
That's what I'm telling you. I know a lot of people, and I share my cell phone, my personal number, even online with everybody, because it's part of my family. My business is part of my life.
Yep.
And yeah, you are correct. When something is going on that is like a, or even they just want to say hi to me, they text me. And I, even if I'm not there, I, you know, I invite them a pisco sour and I share from where I am with them. So that kind of relationship I have with all, you know, my, a very strong team, but very, atmosphere with my customers, you know, mm-hmm. expanding with all Tucson community. So that's why I want to say thank you, Chris. Thank you, all your team. Thank you, Wake Up Tucson. Thank you, beautiful Tucson community.
Amen.
And my family for this wonderful support.
Congratulations on all the hard work and good work over the years.
Thank you.
Anything special going on this weekend for 14th anniversary?
Yes, live music tonight with Edna and Eddie, and tomorrow Grupo Tradiciones. Tomorrow we have all day a free of pisco taste.
Oh my god! So you're doing you're doing free pisco samplers? Is that what we're saying?
What we're doing every year in our anniversary, we macerate different flavors of pisco, and we give piscos, you know, shots. Right to left. I pay 1 penny, 1 cent per pisco, but you can have it for free.
There you go.
I cover the fee.
A penny a pisco. I love that.
And it's in me. It's on the house. It's in my budget. So, yeah. So please come to join us today, 6 to close, and same time tomorrow, live music both days.
Awesome.
Yes.
And then you brought us Papas Rellenos, one of my favorites. God bless you.
Yes. And my famous pisco sour.
I heard that. Before we let you go, what is the salsa in the middle? What is that?
It's called salsa Miraflores.
Okay.
It's because, as you know, Peruvian food is very extensive and involves flavors from the four continents. So you will find something that is similar to Mexican food, Italian, whatever. But the salsa Miraflores is a secret recipe from Peru with our touch with the ají amarillo. It's basically a pico de gallo with ají amarillo, a little bit salt and pepper.
Love it.
There
I
you
love
go.
It. Congratulations, young lady.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody. I love everybody. Thank you, Tucson. Adios, margaritas. Hola, pisco sour.
All right. Nailed the landing, awesome. As we say. She'll a great weekend coming up, live music today with Ed and Edna. Is that what their name?
Edna and Eddie, yes.
Eddie, I got that.
Stop billing, man. Nice try, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah. And Grupo Tradiciones.
El Grupo Tradiciones tomorrow. Tomorrow, we transported you to a quick trip to Peru, enjoying Incas, enjoying the music, pisco sour, ceviche. So they are from Peru, and they perform criollo musica. Very, very unique.
All right, to another successful 14 years of Incas Peruvian.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody. Love you.
Love you, too. That's one of our favorites, Fatima from Inca's Peruvian Cuisine on Colbin Sunrise in the Bash's Shopping Center. Make it a party. The rain's going to happen a little bit today. It'll be great by tonight and then beautiful tomorrow. Get out there and pisco samplings. Nothing wrong with that. We're gonna do some deep track Christmas movies with Mark coming up. All right. 7:25 in the morning. We're doing Doors and Lou Rawls. Little Gilbert O'Sullivan later for you, Gilbert O'Sullivan maniacs. So we gotta go. We're going quick. We went a little long, which is just fine with our friend from Incas. We got Papas Rellenos. We're living life, Mark Van Buren.
She's a fantastic lady. I love to see people like that be successful in the restaurant business because they're doing everything right.
You know, all these people that we hang out with in the restaurant business, they're all people that are just nice humans that you want to succeed.
They are.
Her, Rocco's like that. Juan at El Taco Rustico's like that.
Yep.
It's all Agreed. Good. It's all good.
Agreed.
All right. So you and I were talking about, one of our listeners said, hey, can we start tackling some Christmas movies that aren't the typical Wonderful Life, Elf, Christmas
I'm
Story?
I'm going to do it. So
start us off.
The first one, I'm going to do 11 because the first one's a little bit of a cheat. It's a kid's Christmas special that was
this
done in 1992.
This one goes to 11.
And so this one's 11, and it's called Noel, and it's an animated film, and it is narrated by Charlton Heston, believe
wow.
it or not, and it is one of the best well-written children's Christmas stories I've ever seen.
Really?
It's really, really well done. And the premise of it is that you have this glass bulb that this guy was making it and received really good news that his daughter just had a baby, and he was so happy he cried, and a tear went into the glass bulb, and it was happiness. And so basically he gets put in a box and sold. This is in the 20s, and he gets put in a box, and what happens is a family buys him, and they have three kids, and they put the Christmas tree up, and they decorate, and they put him up on the tree, and the little girl comes up and kisses the bulb and says, "I love you," and he's just so full of happiness he can't stand it. And so you go through season after season after season how sad he is when they put all the bulbs away and the Christmas trees and all that, and then he comes out each year. And it's just a wonderful story, and I would encourage you, if you have any little ones, whether you're a grandparent or you're a parent, if you have any little ones, this is a great, great little, it's 22 minutes long, and it is on YouTube. And it is just really, really well done. So this is one that doesn't get a lot of airtime, but is certainly worthy of more airtime.
So it's interesting. The guy who's a director on this, whose name is Masaki Iizuka, he did a variety of things. He was part of the production team on the Rankin-Bass Hobbit movie.
Uh-huh.
He did Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey. He did Jack Frost, the cartoon, okay. Return of the King, Pinocchio's Christmas, which is trash. Anyway... I never heard of this thing.
It's really, like I said, I watched it with my daughter yesterday because we hadn't seen it in a number of years, and it was 22 minutes long, and we loved it. So,
what's your next one, buddy?
Next one up is The Man Who Came to Dinner, number 10,
yeah.
1942, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think this film is great. We talked about it before we even came up with the subject matter for this week, and Monty Woolley plays the guy who came to dinner. He is a radio DJ in New York, and he comes and he's going to do
a jerk with a radio show.
Yeah, and he's got exactly, and it hits home, doesn't it? And so
thank you.
He comes to this place, and he's going to do a personality. He's going to do a radio stunt, publicity stunt. And what happens is he slips and falls and breaks his hip. And so he insists on staying at their house. And what happens is he ends up being the controlling person for this family. Betty Davis is one of the daughters, and he starts controlling their romantic lives and saying you can date this one or you can't date that one. And it really is a very funny movie, but I love it. I think it's a great flick.
Christmas movie, funny as heck. The script is so sharp. It's one of the sharpest scripts you'll ever see.
It is. It's very good.
And Monty Woolley nails his script, his part of the script, beautifully.
Yes, he does.
All right, we got eight more to go.
That's a heck of a start, Mark.
It is.
good going, man.
Thank you.
All right, Juan Siscomani coming up at the top of the hour. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Hey, ESQ here. I got a couple tickets to the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus Holiday Concert. It's coming up on December 16th. That's a Saturday at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the U of A Crowder Hall. I've got two free tickets if you'd like to go. Again, the Boys Chorus Holiday Concert. Give me a call, 520-790-2040. That's 790-2040, and you'll be going to see the Boys Chorus.
Love it. 7:34 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson. Mark Van Buren's here, the movie guy. Oh, we're also 14 days, 2 weeks from our amazing Christmas party at White Stallion Ranch. Please join us, whitestallion.com.
And one more thing.
Yes, sir.
Papas Rannis is the best thing in the world. Get over to Inca's and get these. They're
there you go.
Fantastic.
They are fantastic.
The best things I ever ate.
Mashed potatoes.
I know.
With a beautiful thing of the picadillo meat in the middle. Then they bread it, and then they drop the whole thing in a fryer.
Oh, my
gosh. See, I actually do something similar to that, and because I use turkey because of leftovers, right? But you can take the leftover mashed potatoes, and then you fill it with whatever filling you want. You can put hamburger or whatever in there.
Yep.
But I did it with turkey, and then you can put some other things in there, whatever you feel like, and then fry that in a pan. It's fantastic.
You do it with stuffing, too.
Oh, yeah. You can put... Oh, yeah. Well, you know what I do with stuffing? I make waffles out of the stuffing.
Oh, that's...
Oh, and then you just pile everything else on top, and it's fantastic. So
love it.
Yeah.
All right, we're doing the Christmas movies that aren't your typicals today.
Exactly.
We've already done Noel, which is a animated movie with Charlton Heston.
Correct.
And The Man Who Came to Dinner with Monty Woolley and Betty Davis.
Next up is at number 9, Bright Eyes with Shirley Temple. Okay, 1934, 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Shirley Temple.
No, and the thing is, I kind of grew up with this because I was born in 56, and so in the 60s, my aunt and my mom were still watching Shirley Temple movies, and I got to tell you, I watched a couple of clips, and she was just so charming. She's 6 years old in this, and it's just so wonderful. And she sings in this version on the Good Ship Lollipop. And it is just so well done, and she carries the spirit of Christmas throughout the whole thing because she comes across kids that don't believe in Santa Claus, and she does. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful story, and I encourage you to see it.
All right. I've never been a fan of Shirley Temple movies, but
well,
God bless you.
You know, she was good.
I'll give it another look-see, as we like
to
say.
It's really good. So, all right, next one up, and this one's for Bunker. I had to put this one in there. Stubby Pringles Christmas, because I saw it after he told me about it a couple years ago. It was done in 1978, 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can catch it on YouTube, and it is the story of Beau Bridges, who is the actor who plays Stubby Pringles, and he's infatuated with this girl that he met at a town dance, which is about 5 miles away from him, a year ago. But he forgot her name, and he fell in love with her, and he wants to go, so he's going to go to this year's dance. And so he gets on his horse, and he goes, and halfway to town, he runs into this woman chopping wood, and he goes, what are you doing? And he goes, well, my husband's sick, and so I got to chop the wood. And he goes, let me chop some wood for you. So he chops some wood for her, brings it into her cabin. And then
don't ruin the ending if there's a
no, I won't. And then he says, hey, I see that you're I see that you don't have a Christmas tree. You got trees all around here. Do you want me to cut you down a tree? Oh, she said, that would be lovely. The kids would love that. So he goes out and he chops this tree down and he brings it in and he helps decorate it a little bit. And he goes, I got to get going to the dance. And I won't go into any more of it, but it is a charming story. It's very well written. Beau Bridges does a great job, and check it out.
This is on YouTube, right? You just catch it on YouTube?
YouTube.
Stubby Pringles Christmas.
Correct.
I love it.
Yep.
I watched it last year too because of Bunker.
It's good. It's a good flick. The next one up, The Family Man with
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Thank you.
The Declaration of Independence, bro.
I actually like this film a lot. It didn't get a really high rating. You can see it on Tubi.
Johnny's got his family.
No, that's the wrong movie.
Oh,
67% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it borrows the theme from It's a Wonderful Life, because he gets an opportunity to go back and see what, because he's this big real estate guy working on all kinds of big deals and all this stuff, but he had broken up with his first girlfriend in college, played by Tia Leone, and what happens is they go off and separate, and he has this very successful career. But his guardian angel comes in, and it is fantastic. And he gets to see what his life would have been had he married her. And it is sensational. I love it.
This is excellent stuff.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So next one up is Young at Heart. Are you familiar with this one?
Young at Heart. Not the Sinatra
song.
Doris
Day and Frank Sinatra.
Oh,
are in the movie, and he sings it in the movie, and it is sensational. I mean, it is really, really a good story where it has all kinds of twists and turns in it. But at the end, Sinatra gets to see gets a very powerful lesson, and that is, it isn't just about a career; it's about family. And
So this takes place during Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I haven't seen this one in such a long time.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Frank Sinatra, Doris Day, Gig Young. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Gig Young.
Ethel Barrymore. All right.
How about that?
Young at Heart.
Right.
I love it.
Let's
see one more, and then we'll get the bunker.
Okay. All Mine to Give, done in 1957. This one is a real tearjerker. 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's based on a true story about this.
What movie is this, sir?
All Mine to Give.
All Mine to Give. Okay.
All Mine to Give, and it is. It's a story of this this couple that emigrates to Wisconsin from Scotland in the 1850s.
Scotland.
And they're boat builders, and they end up having several kids, six to be exact, and the oldest one is 12 when their parents die from an illness. And so what happens is the town tries to take over and say, okay, this child's going here and this child's going here. And the 12-year-old says, no, I'm going to decide because that's what my mother wanted me to do. And he goes around on Christmas Eve and he gives all his siblings away. And then he realizes at the end that there's no place for him to go. And then I'll leave it there because it's a very touching story, but it's based on a true story and it's fantastic.
Wow. All Mine to Give has got Glynis Johns in it.
Yep.
Who, of course, was the mom in Mary Poppins.
Yep.
And then she's amazingly as the horrible grandmother in The Ref.
Oh. With
yeah, is The Ref on your list?
No.
Okay.
No.
And again, I got to say one of my favorite lines of that movie from Dennis Leary.
Yeah.
When he's talking about Glynis Johns.
Okay.
Right? Because she keeps talking about her poor sainted husband, right?
Sure.
Everything's about her husband who passed away.
Yeah.
And he goes, lady, he didn't die. I think he's just hiding out from you. That's how horrible he goes, aren't you supposed to be like a good grandmother? Stop it.
Oh, jeez.
Let's go to Bunker on line four who brought us
Stubby Pringles Christmas. Yes.
Bunker, what's up, bud?
Well, ho, 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 gentlemen, and thank you for showing the respect that Stubby is due, because that is a wonderful
It's very well written. I like it a lot. Yeah.
You can't call anyone Stubby in a movie anymore. You'd be canceled. So I just want to let everyone know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had me going for a minute when you said this was deep Christmas movies. I thought it was about blizzards at Christmas. Thank goodness it's not. Anyhow, I want to start with one that's a short, just like Mark did. This is called Star in the Night. Came out in October 1945. It's one of the first Christmas movies after the end of the war. It runs 22 minutes, black and white, put out by Warner Brothers. Don Siegel directed it. This was also his first commercial theatrical release, so he got off to a good start because it also won the 1946 Oscar for Best Short Subject.
This is Don Siegel of the Dirty Harry fame?
Exactly.
Wow.
Very, very out of character for him. Anyhow, it stars J. Carroll Nash and Rosa Galley as the Capotes, and Dick Erdman, John Mills, and Cactus Mack were three cowboys. One of the interesting things in here is Lynn Baggett and Tony Caruso play Maria and Tony Santos. Santos is Saint, so it's Saint Mary and Saint John. Anyhow, it is about, I'll get into the story here, three cowboys are riding across the desert with gifts and a Christmas tree with no one in particular to give them to. They see a distant star, bright star, and it comes from a neon sign at the Star Auto Court where the owners and guests work together to help a young couple that is, she's pregnant and everything. But what is so neat about this is in 22 minutes, everybody gets to show and shine. Just as an example, Dick Elliott, who is a traveler, is bitching about his shirts not being done and like that, ends up tearing his shirts up for swaddling costs. It's just a wonderful, wonderful film, and it should be on people's viewings list.
Bunker, I love this film. They show it on Turner Classic Movies every year. It's charming as hell, right? And it's just and you can watch it on YouTube, Star in the Night. It's real easy to watch, and it's kind of a modern kind of paralleling of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, in this kind of Western, but you know, kind of in the 40s thing. It's charming as heck. So that's a great choice, Bunker. Good job.
And what's kind of neat, Dick Woods, who plays the hitchhiker in this, is kind of a Saint John. And I'll just a little footnote to this too. William Lava, who was the composer, He did 547 films as a composer.
Lazy.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Now, my next one is Miracle at Sage Creek. I'll skip a bunch of this. Get right down to the story. It's 1888 Wyoming. This embittered rancher, because of the death of his wife 10 years earlier by a Sioux war party, the rancher's played by David Carradine, turns against his neighbor Tim Abel because he is married to a Sioux woman, and he's decided to ruin him, take over his ranch, all of that. Well, a Christmas tragedy strikes him, and his child becomes deathly sick. Wes Studi is a medicine man in this, and he helps save his son, and they end up with a Christmas miracle. And the thing is, Carradine is very much a Scrooge-like character in this.
Love it. I love it. If you have one more, we got to go quick before we break. So.
Okay. This is one of my all-time favorites, Miracle in the Wilderness.
Everything's a miracle. Jesus. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. the West itself is a miracle. Chris Christopherson, Kim Cattrall. Anyhow, it's about a farmer, Christopherson, and his wife are taken captives by the Blackfeet. They have a new baby. She tells them the nativity story. They see it through the eyes of the Indian, so that when you're seeing it, as all of the Christ baby, Joseph and Mary, they're Indians. It's a very beautiful, very touching film, and I highly recommend it.
Great job. Bunker, wonderful job as always, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yep.
You too.
Merry Christmas. All right, 747, happy birthday to Mark's wife, Catherine. They had a big night last night at the Wild Garlic Grill.
I got to tell you, the bolognese there is the best I've ever had.
Which one? What restaurant?
Wild Garlic.
That is good to know. Thanks for the tip.
Oh, it is the bomb.
Just like Salazzo said in The Godfather, try the bolognese. It's the best in the city. All right. There's a Christmas scene there, too. 7:47 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Four more movies to go. Juan Siscomani calling in from the sewer that is Washington, D.C. You're on 10:30 of the Voice. Local news and talk.
I do, too.
You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. So, of course, what I put on Facebook about that we're doing this today and what other movies people said, of course, CJ put Die Hard.
And of course he did. So, thank you, CJ.
So someone took the Linus from, and it says, and John spoke saying, yippee-ki-yay, and then Gruber fell from the tower. So just thank you, Colleen, okay, for sending me that. Four more
to go.
Movies.
First one up at number four is Stepmom, done in 1998. It stars Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon, and this movie's got everything you could possibly want in a Christmas movie, from complex relationships to, you know, snow falling everywhere and heartwarming scenes with some very, very good acting. Ed Harris is also in the movie, so very, very well done. You can see this on Netflix.
Gotcha.
Okay. Next one up is We're No Angels.
I never even thought of that as a Christmas movie because...
Yeah, but it is.
I usually can't stand Susan Sarandon, so I probably avoided it.
Oh, really?
It.
I love her.
Yeah.
Atlantic City, man. We're No Angels.
I liked her in Bull Durham.
We're No Angels is a bogey movie.
Oh, that's true.
Absolutely love this flick. And it's about these three convicts. They get out of escape prison, and then they're hiding in this retail shop run by a small family. And their plan is to steal from this family, and then they get to know the family, and the family invites them to Christmas dinner, and they have financial troubles, so they're going to help them with their financial troubles. So it's really a hoot, and I love it. It stars Humphrey Bogart, Peter Ustinov, and Aldo Ray. So
the idea of putting Bogey and Ustinov as I'm not saying it doesn't work.
Yeah,
I'm just saying I would have never thought to.
Yeah. It's a good flick.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie, and I keep forgetting that. I forgot that
Basil Rathbone's in this, and you can see this on Pluto TV.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Tian is definitely requesting a listing of all these good movies.
I'll put it on, I am back on Facebook, folks, but I have a new address, so you got to look for me. So get on Facebook, and I will post it today.
Zuckerberg has finally let Mark.
Yeah, they let me in after a six-month hiatus.
Got sprung.
Yeah, the bottom line is I didn't even do it. They even told me I was hacked, and then they took me off for 6 months. So
it's for your own protection.
You got to look. Yeah, for my own protection.
Mark's trying to protect you, Mark.
Enabling hackers.
Yeah, there you go. So next one up at number two is While You Were Sleeping. It stars Sandra Bullock. And this is a cute story. It's she plays a toll taker at a train station. And this guy falls onto the tracks. And she jumps down and off the platform and saves him from an oncoming train. He gets rushed to the hospital. She goes to visit him. The family goes, "Who are you?" And all of a sudden, they assume that she's the fiance. And it takes place during Christmas. And so they're hoping that this guy comes out of a coma. Meanwhile, she starts to form a relationship with the brother of the guy who supposedly she's the fiance with. And so there's a lot of twists and turns in this one, and I really love the flick. It was done in 1995. It's 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, and you can see it on Disney Plus.
While You Were Sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, it's got rom-com chick flick written all over it.
Oh yeah,
right?
There's not. And
but I remember my wife started watching it, and I'm sitting down with her, and I liked it. I thought it was charming. I thought I love Sandra Bullock in a lot of things.
I do too. I think she's very, very good. I think she's messed up personally. I think she's a messed up person, but she's a very good actress. Very good. You know. So
I'm a fan. So what's your next one?
Me too. At number one is Last Christmas. It's a newer one. It's done in 2019.
Yep.
I love the flick. It's offbeat. It takes place in London. It's 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it at Hulu. And it's about this woman who has a medical emergency, and her mother is played by Emma Thompson. And after she comes out of this, she's working in a Christmas shop run by a Chinese lady in London.
Okay.
And she's kind of weird because she's not really into it, and she's searching for what she wants to do, and having this medical emergency made her realize things about life and what's important and that type of thing. And she's trying to find herself, and she meets this guy on the street, and he's kind of strange because he walks around and he looks up in London and he sees all these architectural wonders, and then he takes her to this little park in London that nobody knows about, and it's a quaint little place with benches, and he knows all the people in there, and it really is charming, and it's heartfelt, and I'm not going to tell you the ending because I'd ruin it for you. So definitely check this out. Done in 2019. You can see it on Hulu.
I've heard this has not been drink out. If you want some,
I'm good.
Oh,
I'm good.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Give him some water. Now. This I do want to watch this film.
Yeah.
You told me to watch this film before.
I saw it in the movies a couple of years ago, and Catherine and I both loved it. I really liked it a lot.
And the song Sucks by Wham. I just want to let everyone know that. It's total trash.
Really?
I mean, it's like Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. Same four lines being delivered in my brain. Please stop. Sorry.
Do you know how much he's made off of that? You know how much he's made off of Paul McCartney? Because I heard this the other day, and the critics criticized Paul McCartney on this. He's made $40 million on that one song.
I bet. So, America's...
How about that for trivia?
Yeah, that's amazing. America's very naive. Before you go...
Yes, sir.
Napoleon.
Napoleon was kind of disappointing to me because I love history, and so does my wife. She's got 2 degrees in history, and we went and... I must say that there were some great battle scenes in it, and you can see Napoleon was such a strategist, and some of the things that he did, you know, fighting some battles were absolutely incredible. But I found that the main character who played Napoleon was just it was kind of like offbeat. It was almost like, are you really into this or what? So I don't know if it's the way he played him or that's the way Napoleon really was, but it was like, it's almost like he didn't care.
That's because I would have thought Joaquin Phoenix was the perfect guy to play.
Well, I thought right? so too, but there's a lot of weird things in it, and it's really strange. And his strategy at Waterloo was absolutely insane. It was so stupid. It was unbelievable. Why would a great military man do that?
Well, and we've heard that there's like a 4-hour version of this.
Yeah. It'll be better on TV because they're going to put everything back in. The director said it'll be really good, so they'll probably turn it into a miniseries.
So a friend of mine widely recommended the Waterloo movie that has Rod Steiger as Napoleon.
Yeah, and I'll check that out. You told me about that.
It's got 15,000 extras and war things and stuff like that. So yep. Good cool. job. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Wake up.